Whether or not, global warming in a climate of fear. Many green organisations have rallied around the global warming issue. They seek to change national and international law to control climate emissions and thus help save the environment. These efforts have grown since the year 2000, so climate change has become a mainstream concern. This might be a moment to be wary, as campaigning is best when it is slightly disreputable. Are green groups doing anything really radical, or just offering a sense of promise which the politicians can grab? Think of the rainbow, an arc of light. It is a good symbol for climate change, for it needs both sun and rain. Green is the middle of seven colours, between the outer excesses of red and violet. If we think of these as left wing and right wing, the green lies just to the right of yellow. Perhaps liberalism is a little to the left of conservation. A thought-provoking metaphor, in any case. With mainstream politics being so driven by consensus, there is a danger that green ideals are just a handy middle ground for the left and right to claim. They try to outdo each other, claiming the agenda for themselves. When it comes to global warming, there are other concerns. The green consensus view tells us that climate change is caused wholly by the emission of man-made CO2. We can all observe the weather, so a connection is easily made. Because the atmosphere is a global system, we must need a global movement to defend the climate, lobby politicians, organise rallies and publicity stunts. Local campaigners become global in outlook to lobby globalist politicians and corporations about an issue of planetary scope. The next step would be for a planetary organisation to lobby a higher body, perhaps that hot-headed monarch who rules the sun. We have reached a ludicrous position. Does nature listen to the lobbyists? Does the atmosphere care for Parliament? Is the solar system interested in media hits? However sincere and enthusiastic, the protest movement cannot affect the sunspot activity of our local star. Yes, this is still a local issue. 93 million miles is nothing in galactic terms. Campaigners believe the CO2 theory, so are oblivious to such irony. Thinking themselves global, they are the most parochial of all, feigning dominion over creation, when all they can do is lobby politicians. This pseudo-globalism detracts attention from real, on-the-ground campaigns. Trees are chopped down along the railway banks, unsustainable planning applications lodged, phone masts erected, new roads announced. Suddenly, the climate change protests are revealed as a deluded sideshow. Well-meaning and passionate, no doubt, but naive to a culpable degree. In the past, green groups were passionate about local issues, which did not mean parochialism. Think global, act local, was the Agenda 21 mantra. It might well have said, care local. After the coming of Blair's government in 1997, there seemed to be a shift away from this solid approach to a credo of vague anti-capitalism. With the commendable exception of the anti-GM protests, many in the activist movement shifted their interest away from specific, focused issues. Professing to hate globalisation, the movement effectively globalised itself, by using the same tools, global communications and travel. Perversely, the Green Movement has always rejected the explanations of global conspiracy, which could reveal so much about these machinations. Those who spoke of them were called extremist, to be marginalized as heretics. Protesters attacked the system, but without much ideology. This angry shade of green suffered huge controversy in 2000 when the cenotaph was vandalized during a Reclaim the Streets event. Whatever the precise explanation for the tragedy of 9/11, it was a single catalyzing event which led to a war on terror. The emphasis of campaign groups switched to anti-war issues, including some excellent marches to RAF Fairford and the mass march in London of February 2003. Protest had a focus again. One could see who was organising the Iraq war and what their agenda was. The activists were swiftly quelled. The attractions of a Live 8 concert and the horror of the London bombings both distracted from and advanced the agenda. So, how to keep the Greens and Peaceniks busy, away from serious stuff? Throw them some tasty bait. A big, puffed up, fear-inducing issue. A catalyzing one like 9/11, but dissipating protest into a dead end. It had been bubbling away for years, just outside the mainstream, climate change or global warming. Not long after the Iraq War, a fictional film called The Day After Tomorrow depicted the issue in Hollywood style. A year or so later, Al Gore's documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, offered an apocalyptic lecture of the same scenario. Rather ironic that Al Gore conceded defeat to George W. Bush in 2000, after which Bush became the most lampooned figure of the Green Movement. Strange how the Green Movement never refers to this dichotomy while idolising Al Gore. Bush might be stupid, but has mocking him as a figure of fun created a cute villain and dumbed down the Green Movement. Bush becomes a funny rubber mask, not a dangerous political force. Those who blow raspberries forget cogent arguments and fail to assess different viewpoints. If stupid old Bush denies climate change, then it must be true, surely. There are cogent arguments which say the opposite, that climate change caused by CO2 is a nonsense and that other factors are at work, solar cycles and the Earth's polar shift. CO2 follows warm periods which encourage greater plant life. Plants breathe it and give out oxygen. According to IMF, World Bank and North American Union documents, global warming by CO2 is a deliberate fraud to enable global taxation and regulation. It seems our planet has been progressively cooling since prehistoric times, with occasional upward bumps on a generally downward slope. Imagine walking down a mountain and stepping over molehills on the way. Such bumps led to vineyards in Roman Britain, the medieval warm period, and the current situation. However, these historical periods did not seek to blame the weather on mankind's activity. However, it suits the globalists' agenda to do so. The more that campaign groups and green activists sing to the same hymn sheet, the fewer heretics there will be. Not all heretics agree about what is correct, but they believe in the free exchange of ideas, a threatening concept for global control. In becoming globalized, campaigners can become arrogant, not rooted in locality, they spurn issues under their nose. Think global, act local becomes think global, act globalist. How easy to become a globalizer and switch one new world order for another. Of course, it is not right to pollute the air, build upon the countryside, destroy our biodiversity. To reject the CO2 theory of climate change is to reject a climate of fear, not the idea of a greener society. Fighting these ills has been forgotten by many of today's activists. Unlike William Blake, who could see a world in a grain of sand, an eternity in a flower, this globalized green movement wants the world itself. We must all subsume to this mass movement or be ranked with the likes of Jeremy Clarkson and George W. Bush. However, the truly green know the wonder of locality, the specific aura of place. To quote another movie title, "The world is not enough."